I'm doing a series on preaching the books of the Bible, taking one book at a time and looking at what is its theme or main help for us as a whole book. We're on Numbers, but just to catch you up and do some review, Israel had escaped from Egypt, the slavery, and they settled in Mount Sinai. And they've been there. When Numbers starts, they'd been there for 2 years at Mount Sinai. And God was helping feed them and clothe them and take care of them supernaturally. But they are now at Mount Sinai, 2 years. And what are they waiting for? Well, centuries before this, God told Abraham and Sarah, go and I'll give you this land, right? It's the promised land. It's been promised for centuries. And now they're really close. They are called to get up and go, and they end up just right below where Israel is, south of Israel, present-day Israel, and it is Kadesh Barnea. And so you all gather there. And this is what I want to tell you as far as from the orange, yellow, or green sheet. I think it's different colors. Numbers. First of all, we get to Numbers, and it starts off with the key message. It's pretty dull, but the Lord spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting in the desert of Sinai. Take a census of the whole Israelite community. Take a census is the whole point of the whole book. Take a census. Count something. The book of Numbers, like I have given you on all the other books of the Pentateuch, I have a key number and a key phrase. The key number, well, it's numbers. That's plural. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 of something, 2 of something, 3 of something, 4 of something. What there is one of, and you'll see it, you see the hand with the calculator, because the key message is calculations or conflicting calculations, better. But coming from the one, there's one spy from each tribe. And you see, there's 10 on the left and 2 on the right. Caleb is one of them. Okay, Caleb's one of them. So one spy from each tribe. Count the people. Not all the people, soldiers. Once we hear that God said, count the soldiers, basically, we know that God is winning a vision for us, for the people of Israel. In that simple statement comes the whole point. It is time, God has concluded. God's calculations are that it's time to take the promised land. Now is the opportune time, the best time. I should know. You know, God knows better than we do. That's kind of what we're going to get into, is that sometimes we forget that. So there's one spy from each tribe, and then there's two censuses. It's a census sandwich. God tells Moses to count the people, the soldiers, he does, and then we'll get to this, they disobey, and so they wander for 40 years in the wilderness, right? And then they take a new census of a new generation, because God's going to try it again. Try to get them to catch a vision of where he wants them to go. Where he wants them to go. There are three leaders, Aaron, Joshua, and Moses. And then there's 4 decades of wilderness wandering, 40 years of wilderness wandering. There are some scrolls that were just dug up in Egypt in the last few months. And what the scrolls said was very helpful. It clarified why Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Have you read that in the paper? It's because the men didn't ask for directions. but there's another reason. It's another reason. And by the way, that's pretty helpful to this whole sermon. We don't ask for directions, do we? We go do our thing. We do what we think. We do as a church what we think. I mean, generally, churches. And individuals, we do what we think, right? We do what we think is best. And so I have a calculator to remind us this 1, 2, 3, 4 helps us understand the content of the book. And the calculations, well, it's really conflicting calculations. And it's calculations plural, because God has some calculations and Israel has some separate ones. The spies come back, right? Spy from each tribe. There's 12 tribes or clans. They get one spy from each tribe and they go in and they search the land. There are 7 peoples living in the land. Different people groups, not nations as we know them, but kind of city groupings of different people groups. And there's the Hittites, Ammonites, Amorites, electric lights, mosquito bites. I mean, all the ites are there, right? And so they're just south, poised to enter the promised land. And what God is saying is, well, let's wait for God. Let's listen to the spies. 10 of the spies come back, 10 of them, with a negative. 2 come back with a positive. Actually, as a whole, they come back and they say, well, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is there's some fine fruit and crops in certain places. The bad news? Well, here, let's get the calculator. First of all, the bad news is there's big soldiers, really big soldiers. Big walls are on all the cities. Home field advantage, theirs. There's more of them. There's less of us. Yeah, the human calculation that came out was, no, we can't do it. We can't do it. It's just not possible. Caleb and Jephunneh then come on the scene with a but. With a but. Because they say but. In the face of what they're being told by the other 10, they say but. God can do it. So 2 of them argued the case to align themselves with God. God can do it. God wants it. He can do it. So 2 really great men who actually were the only 2 to survive the wilderness wanderings. But because they did not trust these 2 men, they trusted the 10, they lost their opportunity to complete God's vision. They lost their opportunity, their window of time. Now, God still loves them. He takes care of them. That's not never in doubt. And then he leads them on. For 40 years, they wander in the wilderness. They at times do battle. At times, they occupy cities, and they end up in Moab 40 years later. So 4 decades of wilderness wandering. They didn't do what God wanted, and so they ended up being kind of fruitless. Fruitless in the goals that God had for them. One of God's goals from Abraham and Sarah on are that you have that land, so that from that land you can be a beacon of light to bring people back to God. How about us? How do we calculate events, decisions, vision? Because that's really what's going on here, is God is winning a vision. Take a census. Bam! Soldiers, it's time. Centuries of waiting, it's time. God says it's time. How many times do we not deal with that, or we are on the negative end? Turn over to page 14. This is when Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we shall certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." They're stronger. Different calculations, conflicting calculations, and that happens a lot with Christians, with the church as a whole, denominationally, individually, is that we have conflicting calculations with God. We want to align ourselves with God individually and corporately. We want to align ourselves with God so we'll be doing what he knows is right at that time and best. So look at the chart. There's some calculations I put down there that we deal with. First of all, from today's lesson, God's calculation, it's time for Israel to take the promised land. Human calculations, the walls and warriors were too big. How about this one? Believers can give generously. 10% it's not a law, but it's kind of what we move towards. But we're, you know, that's a nice amount. Since I've been 13, I've tithed because I was taught by somebody about tithing. And it's easier when you start from nothing because, you know, 10% of nothing. I was 13. I didn't have to give a penny. So I had to work into it. But it may take time because we always spend our money or invest it or something. And so it may take time to unleash that. But the point is, for us many times, it's 10% is too much. And it probably is for most of us. But it may take years to add 1%, 2%, whatever, and go up from there. But the point is, we always think, what can't we do? That gets into our psyche. What can't we do? Not what can God do? How about sexual relations are intended for marriage? That's God's calculations. That's how he made us. Our calculations are often, how can I contain such a strong need or passion? This is one that, out of all the commandments, this one is what even good Christians sometimes sneak in, somehow justifying it, as far as living together or sexual marriage. Not that there's there's times that you fall. Well, you get up and you go, well, that's not what I intended. And God forgives you and you move on. But this one is snuck in by so many good Christians I've known over the years. They kind of put this one in. Or they keep it somehow. But there's other commandments that we also keep. You know, there's an Olympic athlete who was caught with marijuana. This is before a lot of the laws and so forth. And, you know, wasn't the marijuana so much? I mean, the point is it's been legalized now and right on the edge and cusp of that. But really what's deeper going on here? There is an icon, someone who is respected, and they are mentoring kids that you can pick and choose whatever law you want. Just do it, you know, just pick and choose. If you don't like that one, then you know, you don't have to do it. God's calculations are that we are called to live in the framework of the commandments, of God's desires for us. And we will fail, and we repent, and we get back up, but that's not where we're heading. That's not the land that we're going to. It's not the land we're heading for. How about this one? Christians are messengers to tell others about Jesus. Our calculations are, I don't want to offend anyone. Do others even need Jesus? Now, I agree, we shouldn't offend people needlessly. It can be done tactfully and lovingly, and may take a long, long time as you gain a relationship and gain voice in that person's life and so forth and so on, but people need to know Jesus. The church has really dropped this one, at least in this country, in Europe. We've dropped the ball on this one. People don't need Jesus. A major denomination just voted at a national convention recently that we are no longer going to evangelize people of some kind of religion. This is a denominational level. And yet, tens of thousands of Muslims are having dreams of Jesus coming to them, saying he loves them or follow me. So somehow Jesus thinks evangelism is important. We don't. And we're going to work on that. We're going to team together for evangelism and mission. We're going to work on that. But many of you do actually witness over time, not obnoxiously, when the Spirit opens the door and all that. In this church is much farther advanced than most churches that I know, as far as on people who know Jesus well enough that they want to share him, not just the religion. There's other examples in Scripture, and one of them is the Scripture from Matthew. Remember that we just showed on the screen a little while ago? Jesus predicts his death. This is Jesus' goal. Where was Jesus' goal? God sent him to the cross. He had to redeem humankind. That's his goal. And he says to his disciples that he's going to be killed and raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. We got some different calculations, don't we? Differing calculations. We, like the disciples, want Jesus to live. You know, we don't see everything God sees. So our decisions many times are skewed and not very helpful. But there is this conflict between a great leader, follower of Christ, who has the wrong understanding of where God wants him to be, where God wants him to go. Vision. Vision is being won. Remember the winning, losing, loving cycles I told you about, five cycles in the Old Testament story of winning. God wins something, a gift for humanity. Humans lose it because of their sin, and then God loves them after we sin. And after, in the Bible story, in the Old Testament, after this great sin, then God enters into a loving covenant with them. Kind of odd, isn't it? But it shows us who our God is, doesn't it? This is the third cycle, the winning part. In Numbers, God wins a vision. Take a census. Take a census. I want you to take the land. It's my time. But they say no. We need a vision, and we are going to seek a vision in this church from God. Now, we can do things in our human mind, our own smartness and cleverness and all that, come up with some vision. But that's not the vision we want. We want to be in alignment with God. And many times God's thoughts about where we should be, what we should do, are different than ours. or hard for us to comprehend. But we're going to seek a vision together. It's time to and now we have vision, little visions here and there, and things are going, ministry is happening. But what is the vision for this church as a whole? What is this vision? You individually need to find a vision for your life if you don't have it already. Where you can find that is look at your take a census of your talents and your gifts and your passions. See, God is saying, I made you a certain way, don't you see? With passions and gifts, now you know, go use them. Right? Well, what do we say? Well, when the church calls and the pastor asks me to be on the council, then I have to. It's true, isn't it? How many of you have been asked to do stuff and you know it just isn't your thing and you hate it and you choose to do it anyway? By the way, God bless you. I mean it. But it's going to be less fruit. We'll be in the wilderness wandering a little bit. And you might be too. I give you permission from this moment on, I give you permission to say no to the church. Even if we're begging. Say no so you can say yes. God wants you to use the gifts and talents and passions he's given you. So you're going to have to say no. We want people that are in alignment with the purposes of each committee, each force, task force, each team. But we got to find that together. And you also keep searching it. And retirement can get in the way. Our thoughts, our calculations are, you know, that chair, those chairs that you lay out long, lengthwise, and you put down, you can lay in the backyard. Plus, I got some golf and all that. Golf is great. We are supposed to enjoy the pleasures of this world. But you're not supposed to retire. I'm sorry. Easy for a guy 61 to say that. God has a call in your life. Now, you can still be in those chairs, and you can still watch football, and you can do all that stuff. But with some moderation, because you also want to be able to go where God calls you to go. God's calling all of you to do something. And it's been exciting because, when I first got here, I realized the problem of just trying to find volunteers because of, there's so many of you that served so long, for so long, and done so much. And us, like most churches, we have the same, 20% doing 80% of the work. That's kind of the model, or that's the what's tossed around and so forth. But we got to find the vision for the church. You need to find the vision God has for you. And start checking and take a census of your talents and gifts again. And that's what we're trying to do, is have everybody take an inventory test and also a class. Because we want to align you with your right place. And say no to the right things. But what's exciting, let me finish this one. What's exciting is 5 people in the last few weeks have stood up and said, I feel called to do this. Things that are missing in our ministry that we've been begging for. They say, you know what? I feel called. I want to do this. That's what we want from you. I want to do this because I feel when I do it, like Eric Little, the 100-yard dash guy, remember from England? When I run, I feel his pleasure. All right, he won in the Olympics, became a missionary in China. When I run, I feel his pleasure. We want you guys feeling pleasure in serving God because you're in the right spot. And many of you don't serve in the church because you've been so burnt in the past. But say no. But you got to figure out where God wants you so where you can say yes. Now, a success story is in Acts. Listen to this. Paul and Silas are out traveling through what is now Asia Minor. And they went to the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. They headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit did not allow them to go there. Instead, they went to these 2 other towns, and then Paul had a dream of a Macedonian man calling him and them over to Macedonia to preach the gospel. That's the kind of thing we want this operative when we're looking for our gifts and looking for where God wants us. What land does God want us on? Now, they're traveling through many lands, but God has some purpose that is different than the apostles. They were heading this direction. They were sure that this was it. And God had to just kind of push them around, push them back, kind of show them. We want to be in the Spirit like that, both corporately and individually, as we seek to know what land God wants us in. How do we find the vision for ourselves? What land we're supposed to be in? What land we're not supposed to be in? Well, there's several resources that Christians have. First of all, the Bible. The Bible tells general things. It won't tell you what neighbor to go witness to because you just have this inkling that he's ready. But it'd tell you to witness. Go take a census. There's many other things like that. Go and make disciples. Right? Go and feed the poor. But anyway, Paul and Silas had the same issue, but they succeeded. They went where God wanted them, and they had great fruit as a result. We need to align ourselves, our lives, our mind, our activities around the calculations God has for us. And we can find those calculations. And guess what? If we fail to, he's still going to love us. He's going to go with us. There'll be less fruit. And he's going to try a second time because there's a second census, because God counts the soldiers again after that generation, and then it's going to change because that, well, we're in Joshua now, but that group of people are going to say yes, and they're going to take it. So you have second chances. Third. God loves you, okay, but he's going to try to get you where he wants you for the kingdom of God. Amen.